Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM, channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Here we go. Often duplicated, never replicated. I don't want to overreact, but Milwaukee is going to be a problem for the Dodgers. Now, you could sit here and tell me, Mitch, it's all results-based. They easily could have lost a couple of those games more in the series. They could have lost Friday or Thursday night. They came back to win. I could flip it and say maybe they should have won on Friday night when they had Diaz up against the wall again. But here's why. And I said this earlier. Unless the Dodgers throw Yamamoto against the Miz, it's such a clear edge for the Brewers whenever the Miz takes on this team that I expect them to win that game. I think Logan Henderson is the real deal Holyfield. People are trying to make the case that he should win Rookie of the Year, which he's eligible to win. I don't know if I can go that far because guys like Weatherholt and Stewart are having such great seasons. But this, here's what I don't know to react to, and that is this 35-plus game sample size now that the Dodgers are in the middle of.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it means nothing, or maybe we're looking back in early October saying, yeah, signs were there. They were absolutely in trouble. Now, having said that, Shohei Ohtani is winning the NL MVP. Did you see what happened here?
Yeah, 6 weeks left. When?
So a new story came out Saturday night, Sunday morning. They want to have Ohtani pitch again. As soon as that happened, boom, he turned into a $1.40 favorite to win the MVP. That's all it's going to take. He pitches one more time, I think he wins.
Come on. Don't be gloomy, Gus.
This has nothing to do with my PCA ticket. I think that's how it's going to play out. Mike Palm, great point on this. Mike Palm said, what if his starts this year came at the end of the season, not the beginning? Like, it's out of sight, out of mind. So people aren't going to give it to him because the starts came in April and May? I don't know. I don't want to overreact, Pauly, but the Browns have zero hope. They will be in the mix for the worst record along with the Jets, probably, the Dolphins, the Cardinals. Doesn't matter what they do at coach. Doesn't matter what they do at quarterback. Sorry to tell you, Cleveland fans, but you know how the story is going to play out again this year. Just tank already. Cut it out with the current quarterback room. If that guy's Arch Manning, if that guy's another college quarterback, so be it. This is just under 5.5. Absolutely has to be a play. And I think 11-1 out there for worst record in football, why not?
You gave him the worst contract in the history of sports.
Yep.
And then you draft Sanders, and then you draft Gabriel. And the last two were a dumpster fire in that game.
I don't want to overreact, but the Cardinals are going to play in shootouts the entire year. Terrible defense. I know you don't like Brissett. I like the quarterback room is competent enough with their weapons to play catch-up mode. And with their disastrous defense, allowing a lot of points again, throwing the ball all over the map, I think this is going to be a team where you're going to want to play totals early on. They have some juicy teams on the schedule, like the Lions at home. I think that's in week 5. Oh, it's in the 40s, that total. Give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to overreact, but Drew Aller should start? / the Steelers are going to be fine?
Oh, come on.
Question mark?
The first one, come on.
If Rodgers gets dinged up right away, the Steelers are going to be a playoff contender with Drew Aller. How do you like that? Should I be drug tested for that comment?
That's outrageous.
Okay. And I don't want to overreact, but I watched Housemaid on vacation.
I'm stunned how much money it made at the box office.
This is with Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
Seyfried's in it as well. You watched it?
I saw it, yes.
Good movie.
I can't believe it. Look up what it did at the box office. You'll be stunned. I don't get it. Like, okay, she's beautiful, but she's naked in the movie. I mean, you go to, like, MILFHunter.com is a click away. I don't get why it's, I got to see the movie. It's Sydney Sweeney. She's topless.
Oh, here's the thing. Here's where I don't want to overreact, but I could have used a little bit more nudity. And, I mean, would it have killed her to go full frontal? I mean, you know, come on. It's a 2-hour and 10-minute movie.
Yeah.
Show us the goods a little bit more.
Not a bad ending.
It was fine. I mean, okay. The twist was all right.
It's okay.
Right?
Yes, right.
Just a little bit more. I don't want to get greedy, but, you know.
That's her calling card now.
Of course, it's 100%.
Right, especially if too bad Euphoria's ending, but it's like naked every episode.
That's all I got.
Got that. All right. I'm with you on the Browns. You can't look like that. That was served on a platter. You have a quarterback competition for all three spots. After the game, Monken says, Watson was awesome. Get out of here. What's wrong with you? Every time the Bears blitzed, they got home. You're signing guys off the street. You have so many injuries on defense. And then Keenum lights you up 9 of 10 and dump offs going for 40 yards. You know, and then when it's 17 to 10 and they had that fourth and goal or whatever it was, fourth and one, and they didn't pick it up, then it just looked like they quit as well. Stribling will have a big year for the Niners. I'm with Nick Whalen on that as well. Seven grabs in the first preseason game. That is strong stuff. What if Nick's right? What if he becomes a number one wide receiver by default?
Well, he could have
something there.
Then I don't want to overreact.
Wow.
But Paul, Stribling will lead the league in targets.
He could.
Under that scenario. If he plays 17 games and everybody else is hurt,
yes,
in a pass-happy offense, I'll tell you this right now. Weston put me on this. I got him 40-1 to lead rookie receivers in yards.
Oh, not bad. That's a good market. Excellent. Picking up a little bit here after what you said. Number one, Denver's a bet on preseason until further notice. Again, they're just clubbing teams. That's 8 in a row straight up in ATS, and they're averaging 31 a game. And now Knicks is supposed to play. Why did this open 4.5? It's up to 7.5 now. I texted you. I made it 8. Green Bay looked pathetic, and it's going to be Bo Nix, Stidham, and then Ellinger, and Peyton Cares. And plus, the new cook in the kitchen with Davis Webb. Pittsburgh's a bet on until further notice as well. They opened too low. How bad did the Jets look after Klubnik? That's four good quarterbacks that they have. You mentioned how well Aller played and how good the Will Howard looked as well in their blowout win over the Packers. Nice effort by the Eagles, too. Yards late in the game were 480. First downs were 30-2, Baltimore. It's that happened before the last drive, right? And I know Ryan Kramer had a great line, too. It's the preseason, so if somebody plays well, it's the preseason. But if the guy looks bad, it's like, told you so.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, this is true. What's going on. And one more, I don't want to overreact, but that is a special performance by Baez. That, to me, is a huge deal. That a guy can come in and go bam, bam, bam in his first three at-bats career and go deep. Now let's see what he does. And he hit leadoff today in the win.
I know.
And he got hit by a pitch and came around and scored as they won 2-1. And St. Louis has won 10 of 14. You know, people pointed out Tuffy Rhodes, what he did with the Cubs opening day, went back-to-back-to-back off Dwight Gooden. And didn't do much in the big leagues, but was awesome in the Japan League.
Right.
But this is something to keep an eye on if Baez, who's highly touted to begin with, can come right in and go bam, bam, bam in his first three at-bat. That's incredible.
What do you think that's like as just the feeling overall as a player?
What do you think it's like if you're on that team and the guys in the clubhouse?
You
just say, am I watching this?
I know. You're popping champagne bottles in the clubhouse when it's happening.
This guy's a top prospect. And he just comes in and makes it look that easy?
Yeah.
To get three home runs? That's
very good. Love the segment.
Good for him.
So, I
know McAfee likes the segment, too.
They evidently do.
Producers.
So let me ask you a couple things here. Cause for concern for the Bengals?
That was bad. I know. I know a lot of people were yelling, get him out of the game immediately after some of the big hits Burrow took.
Sure.
So it's only 16 points. That was unacceptable.
The offensive line going to be an issue again?
Perhaps, but it's all rave reviews on the defense. And what Golden said, doesn't even look like the same outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a team that wins the different games and maybe lower scoring games. Who knows?
And
perhaps, but that's the cause for concern, I would say, with the O-line.
One of the first bets that I made for a win total, and this is turning into a very common thing now, Green Bay under.
Very popular.
I got under 10.5 and under 10.
Okay.
For them. I did not do any of the alts, like 9.5 at plus money, because it was like, it was disappearing pretty much.
I wouldn't be surprised if division flips. Bears under, Packers under, Vikings over, Lions over.
That was not pretty against the Steelers. And I'm not high on them this year anyway. So.
Well, it's also what the defense looked like once Parsons got hurt and then on a 5-game losing streak,
Sure, true.
And the coach is completely overrated. No doubt about it.
No, there's no question there. So my money is on them to have kind of a bad year. And look, I mean, if a team is going to pop still at long odds, are we at the point where it almost has to be Minnesota out of that division? They're higher than 5-1. And as Nick Whalen was saying last hour, think about how bad the quarterback play was last year. Not just J.J. But they won 9 games, and Brian Flores is like the elite of the elite.
Yeah, but it's also, no doubt, but it's also what can O'Connell do with Murray now? I think he has to be salivating.
He's got phenomenal weapons, by the way.
He's better than Sam Darnold at that time when you look at when the Vikings got Darnold.
I don't disagree.
So this is a number one overall pick we're talking about.
Right. And it's like I haven't heard Justin Jefferson's name in like 2 years.
Well, he was just discussing with McCarthy. In the
sure. And
He couldn't take it. Did you see what he did, by the way? 3 possessions, 3 punts. He might not beat out Carson Wentz for the backup
job. No, I think Wentz actually will get it.
Yeah.
And that goes to, look, O'Connell was forced to play. He didn't want him.
Right.
And that's why the GM got axed, because his last 4 drafts were a disaster in Minnesota. And that's the biggest concern from our buddy, like Paul Charchin. He's like, they have no depth because of the drafts have been so bad. Well, what if they don't get hurt this year?
They're a polarizing team, right?
Yeah, for sure they are.
Right. The what if, but that's they should be able to get to 10 wins as far as I'm concerned. Especially if you're anti-Green Bay and anti-Chicago.
Okay, yeah.
Or anti-Green Bay, let's just start there.
That's a big one, obviously. Mm-hmm. I've said this over and over and over again, but the thing that scares the daylights out of me, just I love the quarterback-coach combo in Chicago. We'll get into today's Major League Baseball betting card coming up. 2 pitchers are coming off of terrific starts, and I really don't want anything to do with either guy. Major League Baseball action coming up tonight. So the Dodgers are playing the Rockies. This is at Coors, and they're laying a heavy price, as one would figure. It's like almost 2.5. Like 260 was the number earlier today. Total is 10.5. It's Snell against Sagano. A couple things here. First of all, Dodgers offense, not great. Since July 1st, they are 24th in runs.
Ooh.
At under 4 scored per game. Sagano has been the most profitable pitcher in baseball. You're up more than
14 units.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. You're the man. All right.
Yep. Numbers aren't great overall. 4.43 with the ERA, 5.41 with the FIP, almost 2 home runs allowed, but the numbers are all better actually at home, believe it or not, for this guy. The ERA comes down to 3.93 and under 1.5 home runs per 9. Snell is off a great performance against Kansas City, struck out 10 over 6 innings in his career. Couple things here. I don't want a guy after a great start like that. Now, he's capable of going and doing the same thing against anybody in the league, but at Coors in 6 career starts, ERA is at 6. The whip is at 1.57, does have 12.2 Ks per 9, but he's gotten kind of mauled here against this team, Paulie. And I, again, you can get plus 145 on a run and a half with the Rockies. Don't hate it.
I'm all about Ohtani props here just because of how he's owned this guy. 5 of 8 career and 3 bombs off the guy. So total bases, hits, runs, RBIs, however you want to look at it. And the total bases is 2.5, which is crazy. But consider this ballpark and his history against the guy. I'm on board for Ohtani props here.
I haven't even looked. Is it shorter than 2-1 for a home run?
Look right now.
My guess is plus, I'll say plus 180. All things factored in, like you just said, and it's at Coors. You're not going to get 2-1 on him to hit a home run. He was
plus 180.
There you go.
Yep.
That's one of the shortest numbers you can get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if, in fact,
but,
yeah.
You know, also see if the Roberts tirade worked out. I mean, he's exactly right. Lost 11-16, sloppy baseball.
I am.
Good point too about not being composed and having professional at bats, chasing 3-2, not willing to take the walk, a lot of grab ass out there. So see if he lays into him and it works. But again, this is why the guy's number one in ROI. Look at these prices. And it's funny that the 3 of the top 5 guys in all of baseball are going today. Young. The Orioles are 16-4 when this guy starts.
Well, he's 9-3 overall.
Yeah, right. And then Buehler. This can't continue. I don't know how he's doing this, but they're 17-7 when Buehler starts. He gets incredible run support on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So there's 3 of the top 5 that are going tonight.
And I'll give you, here's the second starting pitcher today that I'm not going to touch. What was that from Luis Castillo? I mean,
came out of nowhere.
A total compliment, but his last start, you know, picked up here by the White Sox, goes against the Reds, 7 innings, 1 hit, 10 Ks.
Let down now? What do you think?
Oh.
For not only him, but the team.
Oh, for sure.
You sweep Detroit, now it's the Cubbies. Imanaga, though, number 2 in home runs allowed this year. Cubbies $1.50, total of 8. And we'll see now. White Sox, as we mentioned earlier, largest lead of the season, up 5.5 games.
Wind's blowing in. The problem is, can you figure out this Cubs team?
No.
Are they going to?
Total schizophrenic.
They're either going to start a 9-game winning streak today, or they'll lose like 14-6. Uh-huh. I mean, I just like, what is happening here with this team? I want to like them long term. I do. But boy, oh boy, trying to figure them out with how streaky they are, no chance. So I can't lay $1.54 with Imanaga here either.
All right.
You hot and heavy on anything?
I like the Mets team total over 3.5. Mets are playing good ball. The Mets have won 9 of 12. San Diego's hot as well, 17 to 22. During that stretch, number 1 in baseball were relievers. They're 11-1 with a 2.63, and the Dodgers have the best record going back in that stretch. They've won 6 in a row, started by Bueller. But again, he's personally, during that stretch, 2-0 with an ERA of 4 and change.
Yeah.
He's getting incredible run support. I think they touch him up. I do like the Mets side isn't bad, but again, it's just baffling how they're winning games every time Bueller's out there. So I would say Mets over team total in this one.
Yeah, they have the Mets here. They've averaged almost 5 runs per game since the Juan Soto injury. That's 21 games overall. Haven't missed them in terms of scoring runs on average. McClain at home. He's got the 3.42. Let me start over here. McClain has a 3.42 ERA overall and 10.5 Ks per 9. The ERA goes to 4.15 at home versus 2.70 on the road. So he's been a better pitcher away, and the Friars have averaged 5.3 runs per game since the All-Star break. Not surprised here. I thought this team was going to go on a run. By the way, the team that they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot against in their own division, Arizona, this is interesting tonight.
Yeah.
Because Bratt's going for the Diamondbacks. It's going to be a combination, I think, here of Gamboa and probably Bayo for the Red Sox.
Another example of how tough baseball is. They lose 2 out of 3 at home to Colorado, who they've owned. Then they go and take 2 out of 3 in Atlanta.
Yeah, right. And Fott, by the way, was awesome yet again.
Yes, he was.
So here's the thing with – I don't. This is so weird. Bayo as a starter this year, 35.2 innings pitched, ERA of 10.35, 48 innings as a reliever.
Yes.
The ERA is 0.75.
Yeah, so he follows Gamboa, and that's, I guess, a good thing, how he can maybe minimize and shut down Arizona tonight.
So
it doesn't make any sense to me either.
I know, right?
Yep.
And since the All-Star break, 5 appearances, 1 run, 15 Ks to 3 walks
okay.
for Bale.
All right. Does Detroit get healthy? I can't get there with Valdez, but...
Neither can I.
They're $1.05 against Pittsburgh.
And the Pirates' offense can be... They're good.
Yeah.
They got hitters. They got dudes. So
they're skipping Skeens' next start as well.
Surprised?
No.
The velocity drop?
Fourth worst ROI in all of baseball now. They're 9-16 in the starts.
Oh.
Waka, who's also on that list, goes, how can Kansas City be $1.78? What? They're 7-17 when he starts. Third worst ROI in baseball. Waka against Barnett. I don't know. You'll figure it out. And then the other one, Atlanta has won 11 in a row against the Twins.
And oh, this is Perez against Ober.
Ober is good at home. Solid numbers at home. And this goes back to 2019 with the 11 in a row. I don't trust Martin. Martin, you got my vacuum cleaner. $1.25 against Ober.
Here's the thing. I would really like to be on the Braves tonight, but to your point.
He's BP.
Here's the thing. The Perez ERA is 2.95. The FIP is 4.19. 6.8 Ks per 9 and 3.5 walks per 9. It just like, I don't know how he's going to maintain this ERA the entire year when the underlying numbers are telling you like, okay, it's begging for regression. So I can't get there. Even though $1.25 on the Braves typically would be like a cheap number here, I'm not going to do it. Also keep this in mind that several books have updated like season long numbers almost every day. Here's one example. Who is going to have the worst record in baseball and what a race this has turned into? The A's and the Angels each have 49 wins. The Rockies have 50.
Okay.
The Giants have 51.
Oh.
And the Royals have 51. The Royals were recently 40-1 to have the worst record. I got the Giants at 28-1 and a small nibble at 45-1 for the worst record overall. But that is an unbelievable race this year with so many teams.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much
great stuff up there. You can bet who's going to get the sixth seed.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
You can parlay last place finishers. All that stuff's up there. And while you're looking, I wanted to mention Sanchez and the Phillies are 250 at home against Miami. He's got a .50 ERA career against Miami. At home, this year he's 10-1 with a 1-4-1 in 14 starts. And Harper's hitting .600 career against junk. $1.20 on the run line for the Phillies.
Great numbers there, Paul. This is, again, you can tweet the show as well, at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. This is from Colin Murphy. Great dude. Met him at Bet Bash. He was out here a couple weeks ago. He found this at FanDuel. They allow you to parlay Major League Baseball playoff seeding. So he's looking to key the Dodgers into the three spot, which he grabbed at 7-1 on Saturday. So Milwaukee 1, Atlanta 2, Dodgers 3, Cubs 4 is 17-1. He did Cubs 1 seed, Atlanta 2, Dodgers 3, Milwaukee 4 at 58-1. They let you parlay. That's incredible that you can get down on some of that stuff.
I was not aware of the last place worst record so tight. That's awesome.
A ton of teams right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Angels are playing better, too.
They have been recently.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's probably going to be the A's.
I don't know about that.
Who do you think's going to then?
You see Kansas City's road record? I mean, that's something to take a look at. This will be a big series, maybe. What if someone gets swept in this Kansas City-Sacramento series? We're on the clock Thursday. Second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off. Fantasy football style snake draft hosted by Dustin. Good looking pictures there. I look good on the left there. Good picture. Win totals, division winners, player props, stat leaders. We're adding some newbies. John Hansen's coming in. Nick Bakay, big fan. Advantage push. Keyshawn Johnson fires. Keyshawn Johnson in studio. Don't ask him about Justin Bieber. Watch the futures draft. Profit from it. Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Get your picks in. We're on a clock looking forward to it.
NFL next. Recently retired Las Vegas odds maker, sports bettor, Ed Salmon's on the program. Has he found over the years that betting quarters and halves in the preseason is the path for success?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have the NFL back playing some games. Preseason, call it what you will. But now you can taste it, Paulie. The regular season right around the corner, and more on that here as we go out to the Progressive guest line. Recently retired, longtime Las Vegas odds maker and sports bettor, Ed Sammons joins the program now. Hey, Ed, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Oh, doing good. Thanks, guys.
So did you have – now, those line moves were horrible this weekend for week one in the preseason, but were you able to navigate it, if I can speak English here, successfully?
I did. I wound up playing three games this past week and actually went 3-0, so I was pretty proud of that. It's definitely different betting these preseason games than what it used to be. Used to try to find the information first and bet it. And, I mean, you know, with X now and all the just social media and everyone, I mean, if anybody finds anything out, the line, like, just blows up. It's just insane. You see these line moves. Carolina last week announced they're using their starters 10 to 20 plays. Line went from like Buffalo 2.5 to Carolina 2. And then, 4 days later, Buffalo says, yeah, we're going to play all the guys at practice, which essentially meant Josh Allen's playing. So then the line went back to 3. So, these things are just moving like crazy. So it's just a matter, to me, there's more value finding out the information and betting closer to game time than the opposite, because you don't have to fight everyone.
Good point. Mm-hmm. The moves were terrible, as Mitch mentioned. Also, how about how crazy these first half and first quarters numbers? Cincinnati was laying 7.5 in the first half of that game.
Yeah, and if, you know, I'm kind of mad at myself for not paying attention because they had a big rainstorm before the game. It was raining as the game was going on. So if you kind of put two and two together there, can't imagine they want to play Joe Burrow a lot in the rain and, you know, bad conditions like that. And 7.5 in the first half is just, you know, that's perfection to me.
Yeah, I mean, in a preseason game, that's a crazy number, really looking back at it. And probably if that ever pops up again, something to circle. So in your years of booking this stuff in the preseason and also betting it, did you find more success betting quarters and halves? Did you find that some of your most respected bettors over at the Westgate and maybe before that were betting quarters and halves rather than full game in the preseason?
I never really looked into the quarters and halves just because when I started following it, it just seems like everyone knows what was going on. So, you know, the team 6.5 in the game and 7.5 in the first half. And to me, there's just no value in that. And they all know what side that, you know, the people are looking to bet. So again, you know, it's almost like you have to kind of fade these things because they're just, everything's over exaggerated. That's a sports betting marketplace. It's just anyone says anything and it's just over exaggeration. That's how it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So looking at the week one results and not trying to get too carried away here, but one thing Paulie and I talked about, and it could be a little Captain Obvious here, but my God, Ed, aren't the Browns going to be a disaster again this year?
It's funny you say that because, you know, when I was looking through the teams, like, I really like the Browns defense. I think the Browns have one of the better defenses in the league. And, you know, obviously the quarterback situation is the problem. And I watched some of that preseason game against the Bears, and it was like each quarterback was worse than the next one, all three of them.
Yes.
It was incredible.
Yep.
Incredible. Deshaun Watson is in a pocket, no pressure, and he just feels the need to run up into the pressure, and then he spikes a ball. And then Shador was just throwing just some ridiculous interceptions, and Gabriel came in, and he's like, let me be part of this, and he threw a horrendous pick.
I mean, they're like 11-1 to have the worst record in football. There's a lot of trash, obviously. But where do you have the Browns when you stack them up against some of the other, you know, bottom feeders of the league, the Dolphins, the Cardinals, the Jets, et cetera?
Well, just because their defense, the defense in the home field, you know, you get to have to play in Cleveland, and it feels like the bad weather comes in like the middle of September for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And it's always a cold, windy, gray day, or it's snowing, and their defense will always keep them in these games where they'll probably be good enough to win enough. I mean, I think Miami is kind of alone on an island right now as far as being bad. And the one team I'm really surprised at how well they've looked so far in the preseason is the Cardinals. I don't know if the coach is game planning or what, but they just look like really competent on offense. Like, they move the ball up and down the field. I know Jeremiah Love got hurt the other day, but I mean, they just look great so far on offense.
Are you okay with their quarterback room entering the season?
Yeah, I mean, Brissett moved the ball up and down the field last year. Their problem was they couldn't stop anything. Mm-hmm. And obviously they play a ridiculous schedule for a team that finished last. They get no breaks to the schedule maker. But I think that they could surprise some people. I think Miami wants to be bad this year. I think they're going all out to be bad.
Okay, noted. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Ed Sammons, recently retired, longtime Las Vegas odds maker. / sports better. I can't believe I'm saying this, but for the first time in I don't know how long, I'm pretty high on the Dallas Cowboys. The preseason game had nothing to do with this. I like them, I think, a lot entering the season. What do you think the ceiling is this year for Dallas?
Obviously, the ceiling is winning the division. I mean, I believe right now that, you know, there's again, it's before the year starts, and on paper, there's better teams in the NFC than the AFC. It's mm-hmm. a harder road. But, you know, if Dallas can play championship defense, which is a big if because they haven't been close to that lately, their offense obviously can score a lot of points. So that's the big question. And Dallas was one of my plays this week, and they really went out and played a really good game defensively, and It's something that, you know, you can look at and possibly roll through the preseason, and that they want to win these games right now.
Okay.
But again, it's the defense. Can the Dallas defense rise up? They have to be much better.
Sure. Now, have you bet anything yet for week two? I know you mentioned you're waiting as long as possible, so maybe not, but is there, if not, is there a team or two that you have circled maybe for this week?
Not yet. I kind of want to just see exactly what's going on. And like I said, I feel like you're better off just waiting and letting these lines just move, and you just get so much more value. I mean, how'd the underdogs do last week? It was incredible between underdogs and unders. They just had a monster week.
Yep.
Yeah, incredible.
Crushed it. So you've been doing this for a long, long time. I want to ask you about this. How much stock do you put into a comment such as this one from Bears coach Ben Johnson, when he said, quote, "I want to have the highest scoring offense ever." And he knew, which happened to be the Broncos back in 2013. They averaged 37.9 a game. And he added this, "I want to surpass them. I want shootouts. I want blowouts," end of quote.
It's awesome. I love Ben Johnson. He's incredible. It's amazing when you think about where the Bears were 2 years ago with the coaching they had then as compared to right now. Even in the preseason game where they played no one, they looked so competent compared to Cleveland, just looked like, you know, an amateur team out there. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears could do that. Their defense has definitely lost some people with injuries, so they may have to outscore their opponents.
Ed, pleasure talking to you as always. Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck in week two, and we'll be in touch down the road.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Ed. Ed Sammons on the Progressive guest line. That's the thing is that, Ben Johnson got, one to his point, one vote, I believe, last year for Coach of the Year. When you and I were screaming holy hell about that, to what Ed was saying.
What a job he did.
Oh, the difference was just...
Come on. They couldn't get the play in last year. The clock issues they had and everything. Oh, come on.
The whole tenure of Eberflus was one of the worst I've ever seen.
Well, more on this coming up, but we've seen some movement already here. But Denver opened 4.5 up to 7.5 at some spots, just how bad Green Bay was. And again, it's 8 in a row, straight up in ATS for Denver in the preseason. And there was another move here. I'm surprised Pittsburgh opened so short.
Okay.
But we'll see once they announce stuff. Excellent point that he talked about the Buffalo game. Which was, Bryce Young will start and it goes crazy. And, Josh Allen's going to play. And then what happened? I thought that grass, that field looked terrible.
It did.
For a new stadium?
Oh, I couldn't stop watching the videos that came out
really?
From that stadium.
Yeah,
I mean, how they screwed it up?
Yeah.
By the way, where are you at with the Cowboys? I mean, it almost pains me to say that.
Nine wins.
Is that right?
You're going to be average.
The offense is so good again. And I don't know how the defense is that bad. They made a bunch of, you know, great moves in the draft, I thought was excellent.
Yeah. Where are you at with Washington?
Oh, no, thank you.
No good?
Oh,
okay.
No.
Giants not buying a hype there. Giants.
Right, yeah.
I think it's out for last place. Okay, so what, 10 wins?
I think it's a two-team. Okay. Now, I don't want to tell you that I'm going to bet them to win the Super Bowl, but... I can't remember the last time, honestly, I said that the Cowboys might be a threat. I think this year they might be. And by threat, I guess I mean, could they make the NFC title game?
Come on, been a long time.
Okay.
Long time.
All right, we'll expand on NFL numbers for week 2 of the preseason. I don't know, Paul, you think it might fly by a touchdown overall? Let's follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up top of the hour, to my knowledge, we've had a huge move for the first coach fired this year in the NFL. I'll tell you about that in 15 minutes. There is a perfect example of a preseason game that I really want to bet on. But to Ed Sammons' point last segment, I'm going to wait here for a minute and find out the news before I do, because the Falcons are playing the Colts this weekend. Right? And now
horrible showing by Atlanta. Ooh.
Oh, they were so
brutal.
Bad.
Yeah.
Now, again, I said this in the first hour. I made a couple of bets on the Colts. And it was in positive fashion. Like, I bet them to go over their team total in the first half.
I couldn't believe what I was watching. Nice drive, turnover, hits a wide receiver right in the hands, interception, long drive, fumble Richardson, fumble at the one, fumble again.
Oh, yeah, over and over again.
Come on.
And I had over 10.5 in the first half at plus money, 19.5 for the game. They scored 13. Both were losers. I mean, honestly, the way that game played out, get rid of the turnovers, they scored, I don't know, 35 points, whatever
it
is.
Yeah, yards were there, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that Anthony Richardson is a guy that I somehow want to have bets on, not against in the preseason anyway, right?
Well, either battling the backup Danny or auditioning him to be traded. Trying to get some value for him. So.
Right, and it's a Shane Steichen offense.
Right, and then look what's behind Tua. Penix still not cleared, and it's Cooper Rush and the kid from Minnesota State, Moorhead. So
that's right.
I mean, that was, again, they should have been shut out by Denver.
So I want to be on the Colts, I think, overall, most part preseason. And the Falcons thing, and actually, I want to be against Atlanta when Tua was playing. He didn't throw anything more than 5 yards down the field.
Yeah. He had problems holding on to the ball. Yeah. I had the fumble. Is right. Yes.
Boy, oh boy. I got to tell you, I mean, with the news from their defensive line, the injuries, the suspension,
right,
the quarterback play, again, I want to buy in on this team. I can't. Won't.
Yeah. Interesting game week one at Pittsburgh. Because, like, if they get blown out, because, like, what's McCarthy going to look like with Rodgers and the new installs and the new offense, right? That they kind of let you know, like, but then again, you could just say, hey, it's week one, calm down. The Raiders went to New England and won. And then how that season played out. But
you think, now having said, do you think three is sure?
It seems that way, yes. Yeah. But see if they get their act together and see what happens from injury standpoint. Bad job, only two games Thursday. It's our Raiders taking on Houston. Houston, a small favorite. See, quarterbacks look good, but again, couldn't stop a nosebleed.
That's a problem.
Arizona did whatever they wanted and a sick beat on the total. It closed 41.5, and it was 35 at halftime. Houston on a 16-3 underrun in the preseason, and we'll see what they decide once it's announced what happens to quarterback, because they had injuries in the last game against the Chargers, and they got blasted in that game last week.
I'm seeing Houston right now, 238 total.
Yeah, right. And then the Chargers also, you want the Chargers and Trey Lance in the preseason. You don't want Trey Lance regular season. So going back, they're averaging 22 a game now in the preseason. Their last six. And I got to see what happens, what Shanahan says. Rourke looked good, but then he got hurt. Martinez was awful. Mm-hmm. And anytime Tennessee blitzed them, it was a ball game. So I would look at the Chargers right first blush, but we'll see what happens once these coaches announce what they're going to do on Thursday. I'm on Pittsburgh's a bet on how bad Zappe looked, and after Klubnik left, how bad the Jets looked to get run out at home. And I'm fine with whoever you want, Rudolph, Aller, Howard. I'm good with all of them. Aller was great. They all look good and blowing out the the Packers in their first game, and that is three. There is 1.5 out. Yeah, 2.5 at Hard Rock, Friday night against the Jets.
How much run are we going to get from a guy like Bailey Zappe in the preseason moving forward? Got to correct what happened. I mean, he was an abomination.
He was.
Against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they lost that game.
Yep. I thought this would be 8. This opened 4.5. It's up to 7.5. Denver against Green Bay. The Packers, we mentioned several times, were horrendous in the second half. And again, Peyton plays for keeps. 8 in a row straight up in ATS, dominated Atlanta. It's supposed to be Knicks, followed by Stidham, and then Ellinger. Good enough for me, and no problem punishing Atlanta last week.
Do you know the game plan for Green Bay? I have not seen what LaFleur's plan is going to be here.
I would expect maybe it's Love for a couple series, and then you put the backups in who are awful. But then he's also, we'll see, because all these wide receivers are hurt too.
Here's what he's
dealing with.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway from Green Bay is the obvious one. And that is, I can't tell you how excited I am to bet Trace Mack props, the rookie kicker from Florida.
Look good.
Oh, 3 for 3. And he's drilling them from way downtown, bang.
Mm-hmm.
If he has cheap prices for, like, longest field goal over, 40, whatever it is, 1.5 field goals at a decent number, I think that already he won over LaFleur there in the first preseason game. How did he not? Because their kicking issues have been it's been a sore thumb for years now for that team.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's one thing that you can take away from the preseason is, that kicker's good. Like, that's going to translate for sure during the season.
Mm-hmm.
I got super giddy about that.
Sure.
I never bet as many field goal props as last year. So I think that's going to be a thing again this year.
I know you have more trends coming up. The dog in San Francisco, 9-1 ATS last 10 Niner preseason games.
Are we going to do this again for the 40 with the 49ers?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
The regular
again,
season?
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to be another. So how many wasted years have they had out of the last six, seven years? Two trips to the Super Bowl and everything else kind of a throwaway?
I know. Washington and Detroit, bad job by the league. 10 games on Saturday. This one goes at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
They ever done this before?
Get that. Altmyer was okay at the backdoor cover going 80 yards against Cincinnati. Laying 3.5 at some spots against Washington. No, thanks. I don't. Unless there's something concrete that comes out. First blush, I don't want to do anything with this one.
You asked me about the Commanders when we were talking NFC East previous segment. I said, absolutely not. It's all anti-Washington again this year for me. Where are you at with them? The stuff with Jaden Daniels, the off-the-field stuff now at LSU.
What are you doing? You look terrible.
Horrible
one. You're not Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow went undefeated and won a national
title. It's the best college team of all time.
Right. You pulled the Colorado crap there, where they realized the season was over. Let's try to get him the Heisman and run up the score on people, what they did with Hunter in Colorado and what LSU was doing. You can't say, don't give out my jersey. You disrespected me, all this. I mean, come on.
And then Tunsil out.
That too.
Another ding there for the team.
Right.
It is not trending well at all for them. So I would think last place or third place at best in that division.
It's difficult. You go from 12-5 to 5-12. We'll see and what they are defensively. This the rotation's nice on paper because you go Murray, McCarthy, and Wentz and then Brosmer, but it didn't translate into points in the win against the Giants. But Minnesota's 3 against Baltimore, and Baltimore was just a freight train. What they did, taking apart Philly. And again, the yards, 450 to 159 at first downs, 30-2 at one point before that final drive by Philly when it was out of reach.
So I know it did not stay the course the entire time for Harbaugh in the preseason. Like, it kind of corrected itself last year, maybe a little bit the year before. But it was the most automatic thing in sports betting was betting Baltimore Ravens preseason games to win and cover. They did it more than 20 times in a row. Is it possible, new coaching staff, I get that, but is it possible with the front office and all the same players that the culture there is something that you can bet on in the preseason? Certainly, it was awesome against Philadelphia in week one.
No problem. That's right. We're excellent.
And maybe that's a thing against Minnesota here. Spitballing a little bit here on that, but.
Saints favored against the Rams. Yeah. That is now 7 in a row for the Rams.
Where'd that come from? Because forever McVay didn't care.
Yeah, he's covered 7 in a row now. And Kansas City, they've lost 7 in a row. And he said Mahomes isn't playing at all, and Tampa's 3.5 in one of the late games coming up Saturday.
Yeah. Well, what we want is for him to actually say that Mahomes is going to play in week 3.
I don't think we see him at all.
I don't think so at all. I would, perfect betting scenario would be Reed comes out, says Mahomes is going to play at least the first quarter, and then you know what to do. I mean, the numbers will move big time, but when they have done that in the past, it's like right down the field, touchdown. Right.
And another one, the Bears total is 41, but that Case Keenum was 9 of 10. I don't know what he does with Williams Saturday, but you go Bajent and Keenum behind him. Well, certainly the Browns were pathetic, but they look good and lit him up, and maybe Cincinnati will – he'll trot the starters out there again, and that's a very good quarterback rotation in Cincinnati that you're going Burrow into Flacco and Josh Johnson. So a 41 at the total in the Chicago-Cincinnati game.
And I will remind you again, since 2012, when a total has been 39.5 or more, unders have hit at 60%. That clip, last 5 years when the total was 39.5 or more, unders have hit at 63% clip. And that's to the point of what happened week 1. All those unders came in, and all of those underdogs either won outright or they covered pretty much against the spread.
I would like to take Tennessee Sunday night, but Trubisky's banged up. But if I can go Ward, Levis, Trubisky against what's probably Jalen Milroe for another half again, I mean, 7 points at home against Dallas, I would think Tennessee. They didn't even play well against the Niners, and Sal is 11-3 in the preseason in his career.
Up next, I have some pretty awesome trends for the NFL preseason and a pretty big move on first coach fired in the National Football League. Find out which coach that was on next.